Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Daf Samach Tes. We're going to begin at Berenu Perek, the fourth Perek, Asara Yuchsin, which begins towards the bottom of Samach Tes Omed Aleph. We are learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Leon Ferdman, Yehuda Leib Ben Ze'ev HaKohen. We're also continuing to learn Be'ezus Hashem that Chayalei Tzva Haganali Yisrael should be safe. Be'ezus Hashem, all of those that are in need of Refuah Shleimah should have one. And Be'ezus Hashem, all the Shurim shall be returned safely and speedily. Achenu Beis Yisrael should not suffer. We pick up the brand new parak, Asara Yuchsin. Now, Rashi is going to tell us both in Omed Aleph and Omed Beis that when the Klai Yisrael came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, only a small percentage of Klai Yisrael came back. But this included Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Gedolei Yisrael of that time. And they weren't leaving behind a very large number of Tamidei Chachamim in Bavel that would be able to go and regulate and oversee to make sure that the purity of the lineages of Klai Yisrael were maintained. So what Ezra did was he went and took, as the top Rashi tells us over here in the Perek, Shemishpacho Shebabavel Miyuchasos Hein, those that were left behind in Bavel, he only left behind those that had perfectly pure lineages. Shehifrish Ezra Kol HaPsula Misham. Ezra brought up with him, we'll have a machlokes in the Gemara, did he do this, did they all come voluntarily, or did he force them to come, all the psulim, all the people that had a potentially not good yichus, that wouldn't be allowed to become members of Klai Yisrael, to marry into Klai Yisrael, and that's what our Mishnah and our Perek is going to be discussing in great detail. So he brought up all the psulim with him, and therefore we are now going to read, the Mishnah is going to tell us of the 10 different categories, lineages of Klai Yisrael that there are. So, Asara Yuchsin Olumi Bavel. There were 10 categories of people that came up from Bavel with different levels of so to say, yichus, of status. And these are Kohane, Levi'e, Yisraeli. These are well known to everybody. These are the Kohanim, of course, from the Bnei Aharon, Levi'im, those, of course, from Shevet Levi, and Yisraeli. These are the rest of Klai Yisrael, which is mostly Yehuda and Binyamin, but includes all members of Klai Yisrael nowadays. Now, in addition to these three well-known classes, you have Chalole. Chalole are people that are either a woman who is inappropriately married to a Kohen, let's say a Grusha married to a Kohen, she now becomes a Chalola. And their children, either boys or girls, will become Chalolim, either males Chalol or females Chalola. So the children of these inappropriate marriages to a Kohen become Chalolim. So they are a separate class. We'll see what exactly their status means, but they certainly can't marry a Kohen. If a Kohen were to marry a Chalola, so then their children would be Chalolim as well. They would not be Kohanim. So that's the fourth class that we're going to deal with. Geire, that's simple to understand. These are people that were Nisgayer. They were Goyim, and they converted and became Jews. So this is the fifth class of the ten. V'charure, so Rashi reminds us, these are Mishuchrore. In those days they had Eved Kenani or Shivcha Kenanis, and when they would be free, they would become full-fledged Yidden. So this is the class known as Charure. That's the sixth class. Then you have Mamzire. We've had already in the previous parak a discussion, many places in Shas, a discussion what creates a Mamzer. So the way we paskin is like the Chachamim, that any child that is born from a relationship that would be a chiyuv of kares or a chiyuv of mises beisdin, so that child and that relationship, the product of that relationship, is a mamzer. That's the opinion of the Chachamim. We had already brought down there are stricter opinions, there are more lenient opinions, but that is the way we paskin. That is the definition of a mamzer. A child is born from a prohibited relationship of chiyuv kares or chiyuv mises beisdin. So that is the seventh category. The eighth category is nesine. We've discussed the nesine many times. They're also known as the givonim. These were the people that came in the time of entering into Eretz Yisrael. They came to Yoshua and misrepresented themselves. They said they were from a faraway place. They really were from the Zion Umos. And they made a peace treaty with Yoshua. And Yoshua didn't want to make a Chilul Hashem and wipe them out. And therefore, they were forever assigned to be the Chotvei Eitzim and Shoavei Memecha and couldn't really come into the Kahal. Later on in the times of David, so there was a whole problem with the Givonim and Shol. And ultimately, it led to the death of seven of Saul's descendants. And at that time, David was further gozer that they can't go and marry into Klai Yisrael. So the actual prohibition of the Nesinim may have been originally a biblical Doraisa prohibition. After time, it became a rabbinical prohibition. But anyway, they're a separate category called the Nesinim. That is the eighth category. The ninth and tenth categories are Shtuke Va'asufe. So these are children whose lineage is not clear. Shtuke is a child who knows who his mother is, and he keeps on pointing to men and say, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, is that my father?" And the mother says, "Shh, shh, we're not sure who your father is," or she's not revealing who the father is. That's shisuke, silent. In other words, we know the mother, we don't know the father. Vasufe, that's a child that's like a foundling. He's brought in from the community. We don't know who the mother is, we don't know who the father is. So those are the 10 categories. Asari yuchsin olu mibavel. Now, what is the significance of each of these categories? So, Kohane, Levi'e, V'Yisraeli, the categories of people that are lineage of Kohanim, Levim, or Yisraelim, male or female, Mutarim, Lavo, Zebizet. They can, quote, intermarry between the classes. There's no prohibition in a Kohen marrying a Bas Levi or a Bas Yisrael. And likewise, there's no problem with the Yisrael marrying a Bas Kohen or a Bas Levi. So they can fully intermarry within each other. Obviously, we learned already in the previous parak that if Yisrael marries a Bas Kohen, the children are Yisraelim. If a Kohen marries a Bas Yisrael, so the children are Kohanim. So we're not talking here about what their status would be, but it's talking about a permissible marriage. So the Kohanim, Levim, and Yisrael can freely intermarry between them. Now, we remove the Kohanim class to talk about the next group because the Kohanim aren't allowed to marry Chalole, Gere, the Charure. However, Levim and Yisraelim can. So the next grouping is Levie, Yisraelim, and Chalole, Gere, the Charure. Mutarim Lavo Zebizet. Those are all lichatchila permitted marriages. There is no problem whatsoever. A Levi is allowed to go and marry any one of these daughters of Yisraelis, a Chalola, a Gioret, or a Shivcho Kinanis that was freed. Perfectly permissible marriages, and vice versa. There are no prohibitions in these categories. Again, note the Kohanim aren't here because the Kohanim aren't allowed to marry other than the Levim and the Yisraelim. They can't marry Chalola, a Gioret, or a Shivcho that was freed. So these five groups can marry with each other. Then you have the last group, that's Gere, the Charure, are allowed to also intermarry not only with Levim Yisraelim, but they can also go and intermarry with Mamzere, Unesine, Shisuke, Vasufe. They're all allowed to marry within each other. As Rashi points out, that the Kesavar, Kahal Gerim, Lo Ikre Kal. There is a pasuk that says that a Mamzer can't Lo Yovo Likal. They can't go into the Kahal. So what is the Kahal? That's Klai Yisrael. In certain respects, you have to be in Klai Yisrael to be part of the Kahal. And they're excluded to a certain extent for being called Kahal. So therefore, the Kahal of Gerim is not called Kahal. And therefore, V'lo Huzeru Mamzerim, Lovu B'Kahal, Gerim. There is no prohibition against a Mamzer coming into the Kahal of Gerim, because that's not considered a Kahal. It says Lo Yavo B'Kahal, so that only refers to Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. And therefore, Yisraelim and Levim are also Mamzerim. However, the Gerim are not. And that's the same for the Gerim as Mishuchrarim. They're almost the same dinim. And likewise, the Nesinim are allowed to marry within that group. And the Shtuki and Asufi, who are Sofek Mamzerim, all of these are permitted one to the other. Kula Mutarim, Lavo Zebzeh, albeit they're not called Bikal, but they are considered perfectly full-fledged Jews, but they're not called Kahal in terms of marriage. The Mishnah now defines what are the shtuki and the asufe. The Elohim shtuki. So kol shu makir simo, the child knows the mother, they know makir sofi, but he doesn't know the father. And as a result, as Rashi points out, ukishikore ploni abba, when he calls somebody, hey, dad, so imo mishas koso, his mother silences him. Asufe, the Gemara will explain in more detail, but the Mishnah just tells us, kol shu nesap minashuk, he's a foundling. They don't know who the mother is or the father. They know Makilu, Asaviv, Loimo. They drop the child off in the front of the hospital, in the front of the shul, in front of the orphanage, and they find the baby in the little container. So that is a Asufe, collected and he's gathered in from the community. Abishol HaYakari Lishtuke Biduke. Abishol would call the Shtuke Biduke somebody who has to be investigated, and the Gemara will explain why he uses this Lashon. Okay, that's our Mishnah, very important, famous Mishnah, Asar Yuchsin, and we start off with the Gemara. So, we started off by using the Lashon Olu Mibavel, Asar Yuchsin Olu Mibavel. So the Gemara asks, why is that important to tell us they came up from Bavel? My ear, Yadhani Olu Mibavel, Nisli, Hochul Eretz Yisrael. Isn't the key thing that they went to Eretz Yisrael? Why are you telling me that they came up from Bavel? Shouldn't you have said the Asar Yuchsin came up to Eretz Yisrael? Gemara says, no, yeah, of course they went up to Eretz Yisrael, but it wanted to teach us Milsa Agav Urche Kamash V'lon. It wanted to teach us something by the way. And the Gemara does this all the time, that when we teach one din, we can also slip in and teach a second din at the same time without any waste of time or effort. So therefore, Milsa Agav Urche, it teaches us an additional din, by the way. Kiditanya, like we learned in the following Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'kamto V'olisa Elamakom, Asher Yivchar Hashem Elokecha. And you go up to the place where Hashem, the Lishkas HaGoz, is the Beis HaMikdash, where you will find out what the Beis Din paskins. And this teaches us, Melamed, Shebeis HaMikdash Gavoh Mikol Eretz Yisrael. And this teaches us, because the Lishkas HaGoz, the Beis HaMikdash, is where they went up to, V'kamto V'oliso Elamakom, you'll go up to that place, teaches us that the Beis HaMikdash is higher than all of Eretz Yisrael, which of course is higher than Eretz Yisrael, Gavoh Mikol Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is higher than all of the other countries of the world. Now, there's many ways you can understand this. I'll just give you two quick ones. One is a spiritual fashion, that on a spiritual scale, so the Beis HaMikdash is Mount Everest. It's the highest place in the world. That's the highest. And the Yerushalayim is the next highest. And then Eretz Yisrael is the next highest. And then you have other places outside of Eretz Yisrael. So this is the status over here from a spiritual point of view. Others explain, no, you could even look at it from a physical point of view. The world is a circle. Chazal knew that. The world of ball. Chazal knew that. And therefore, Chazal said, it depends where you orient the ball. Instead of having the North Pole, so to say, at the top of the world, you put Yerushalayim, the Har Habayis, at the very top. That's the North Pole. And therefore, that's the top of the world. And therefore, everything else is Ola to Eretz Yisrael, to the Har Habayis, to Yerushalayim. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, Bishlama Beis HaMikdash Gavoh Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so the Pasuk clearly says that you go, come to Elisa El HaMakom, Hashem Yivchar Hashem Elokecha. You go up to the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked, and that is the Har HaBayis. So very good. We see that the Har HaBayis is higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Bishlama Beis HaMikdash Gavoh Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Hainu Dersev, and we turn to Samach Tevso Mubayis, Divrei Rivos Bisharecha, V'kamto V'Elisa. The whole Pasuk that we just said, when you don't know exactly how to paskin something, whether it's been dom ledom, bedim ledin, benega lenega, and all various aspects of capital or financial or isurim types of halachos, dire rivos bisharecha, and you'll have a machlokes as to what is the halacha in all of these situations. So we're instructed, kamta violisa, go up to the Har HaBayis, go up to the Lishkas HaGozes. Very good. Now, how do we know that Eretz Yisrael is higher than the rest? Maybe everything else on the same plane. So here we have another pasuk. This is a famous pasuk from Yirmiyahu, which tells us, there are days coming, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And the gears that says on the side should be v'lo yomru. The vav is missing from our Gemara. It says on the side, the word is actually v'lo yomru, od chay Hashem. And people will no longer say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asher helos bnei Yisrael meretz Yisrael. That won't be the major thing that they'll qualify ourselves as, oh, that we're the nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out of Mitzrayim. But they will say instead, ki'im chay Hashem, we swear by Hashem, so to say, asher helo v'asher hevi ezera beis Yisrael meretz Tzafona o'mikolo arbatzos asher hidachtim shom. The gula shleim will come. We need Mashiach terribly right now. We really, really need Mashiach. We always do, but we really need Mashiach right now to get us out of this almost insolvable situation in Gaza. And Mashiach's going to come, and then we'll praise HaKadosh Baruch for taking us all out of all the lands that we were, Hidachtim Shom, all the goluses that we're in all over the world. So HaKadosh Baruch is going to bring us Beis Yisrael, all Beis Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael. So we see, it uses Lashon Asher Hela, we will go up there. The Gemara then asks, "My ear the tani olumi bavel." So again, why do we go and specify in our Mishnah that we went up from Babel? Why don't we just say olu Eretz Yisrael, that we rose to Eretz Yisrael? Now we understand why we would use the lashon of went up to Eretz Yisrael to teach us Eretz Yisrael higher than the rest of the countries of the world. But why b'davka does it use the lashon of the olu me bavel? So Messiah Lila Rebbe Lazar, this comes to teach us what Rebbe Lazar said. What did Rebbe Lazar say? Don't Rebbe Lazar, lo olu Ezra be bavel. And this is what I mentioned at the very introduction to our parak. So Ezra knew, as Rashi tells us over here, that there weren't going to be a lot of Talmidei Chachamim that were going to stay behind. In Dibra Maskul, Masai Leila Rabbi Elazar, Rashi tells us, Dinokatana Didon Lishno Yesera. He used this extra wording, Olumi Babel, instead of just saying they went up to Eretz Yisrael, the Ashmina should call Atzmo Shel Ezra Lenakos Ezbavel Niskave. Ezra realized, I got to purify bubble because there aren't going to be great basins there and lots of power there to make sure that the yuchsin are left intact. He saw that they're already mixing the lineages over there. He saw that most of the Gedolim were coming up to him with him to Eretz Yisrael. They ain't all the Bavel, and there won't be enough behind left in Bavel. She is asik livdok behen liachson, and it'll be very difficult for them to go and keep the lineages pure to make sure that the halalim don't intermarry with kohanim and that the levim don't intermarry with mamzerim. So Ahmad, what did Ezra do? Vihifrish psulehen. He separated all those that had a pasul lineage, volichon imo, and he took them either voluntarily or forcibly. He took them with him to Eretz Yisrael. Vahador shiro hafrosh asam, and that generation that saw this, he cared them. They knew who was who. And he wasn't concerned that once they were identified and separated, that they would remix again, especially with him watching over in Eretz Yisrael. So Ela Psulim Halum. So he brought up those Psulim, Uladoros Habayim Nami, and even in the future generations, people would know who were the Psulim, who were the Muchastika people, and what Yichus they had. As the Gemara says, Kivin the Amar Lishka Sagazis Haisosham. They would have the Sanhedrin, they would have the highest level of Tamidei Chachamim in the Beis Hamikdash, Shasham Yoshvim Miyuchsei Kuhuna Ulevia B'chol Yom Mizar Zihirei B'sule, and they would keep very close watch on the Yichus of the Kohanim and the Levim, especially, so therefore there wouldn't be this mixing, and that's why Ezra brought everybody up. So this is what Rabbi Loza said, that Ezra left behind a purified bubble. We use the Lashon, that they're like fine flour that's been sifted, and he brought up the dough to Eretz Yisrael. The dough, as Rashi tells us later on, consists of Sa'or, the Mayim, the Kemach, the Melach, the Subin. So it has all the mixtures in it, although they were in separate categories in Eretz Yisrael, he was able to keep track of it and watch it. So therefore, Babel is considered fine flour, and Eretz Yisrael is a dough. And we'll see that the rest of the world is considered a dough to the fine flour of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Itmar. So now we introduce the question that I just alluded to before. Did Ezra let them come up voluntarily, or did he forcibly bring them up? So Itmar. Abaye Omar, Abaye said, Olu me'elehen tanan. It says that Asari Yosin Olu mi Bavel, implying that they came up on their own voluntarily. Ezra called everybody come up, and they said, sure, we're coming. Right? Only a small percentage came. Only 44,000 people came. The rest of the people, as Rashi tells us, they were not willing to go up. Rashi says, Lefi Shahayu, the very last lines, very important Rashi, the very last, the thin lines in Rashi, Lefi Shahayu Yoshvin Bibavo Bishalva, the rich people, many people, didn't want to leave their beautiful homes and lives, and now they got used to 70 years in Bavel. Some were there longer, the 11 years before the Golus Bavel. So there are already people that were there for 80 plus years. And Hayu Yoshvin Bibavo Bishalva, they were very peacefully living over there in a good life. Ba'olim Yushlaim, the only ones that went up to Yushlaim were those that didn't have such a good life in Babel. Hayu Ba'oni, they were poor. Ubetorach Hamlocha, they had a lot of hard work to do to settle the land. Ube'ematz Kosuvilseh, Nebuch, like it is today. You have to worry about all the surrounding nations. And therefore, people didn't come up so quickly. Only 44,000 people came up. And those that came up voluntarily came up on their own, according to Abaye. Rava disagrees. Rava Amar, no. He elum tanan. Don't read the Mishnah, Asar Yuchsin Olu mi Babel. Read Asar Yuchsin Halum mi Babel, in not implying that they didn't want to go up, and Ezra forced them to come up. And let us suggest that B'kom Mifli give you the Rabbi Lazar. They're, in fact, arguing about this statement that we just brought down, Messiah the Rabbi Lazar, the law allows me Babel, Acho Aso Kisolis Nikia of Allah. So Abaye, let's lay the Rabbi Elazar. So Abaye doesn't hold from this. He said they came up voluntarily. Ezra didn't have to go and figure out which ones were which and made it into fine flour back in Bavel and took up all the dough, all the mixed lineages with him. No, they came up voluntarily. So he doesn't hold like this opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Abaye. And Rava does. Rava is slay the Rabbi Elazar. That's one way to understand the machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Alternatively, Abaye sayma to kuliyama is the Rabbi Elazar. No, in fact, everybody, even Abaye, certainly Rabbah, holds like Rabbi Elazar. Why is that? Because they all agreed that Ezra made the psulim in Eretz Yisrael known, and he left behind all the very, very pure people. So then what are you arguing about? How do you argue about, did they voluntarily or forcibly come up? Abaye says they were separated into their separate yichazdika groups, the Asari Yuchsin, but once they were separated, they came up voluntarily. Okay, this group is the Mamzerim, this group is the Yasufim, this is the Shtukim, this is the Nesinim. And then they all came up voluntarily. So you agree that Ezra did this, but Abaye says then they went up voluntarily, without being forced. Rabba Umar Sovar Bal Korchayu Asukinu. No, they didn't want to go up. They also wanted to stay in their homes in Babel. And Ezra forced those that were of impure lineage to come up because he could keep control of them in every soul and wouldn't be able to do so in Babel. Now, Gemara says, Bishlomo, it's very good according to Abaye, Leman, the Amar Alu, that they came up voluntarily because Hainu Domer viewed Domer Shmuel. That it makes sense in accord with what Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. They call Aratzos Esau, the Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael, Esau, above them. That all the other nations are considered like a dough compared to Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is considered fine flour to them. So that makes good sense because they voluntarily came up and we knew which groups were which. And Eretz Yisrael is Esau, above them. And Eretz Yisrael is compared to be like a mixed dough, as we said, with all the ingredients of a dough compared to Babel, which was like the fine flour. Very good. That makes very good sense. According to Abaye, says that they voluntarily came up. Elamand Yomer Ha'elum, according to the opinion of Rava, that Ezra forcibly had to go bring them up. So Meida Yadinhu. So this certainly should have been a very well known thing. This group is being forced up. This group is being forced up. So then, why are you telling me that this, in fact, is in some ways a dough compared to Babel? Shouldn't it be still very, very pure, even just like Babel? So Babel had only the purest lineages, but in Eretz Yisrael, they had a group of pure lineage, they had a group of less pure lineage, a group of less pure lineage. So therefore, why are you telling me that Eretz Yisrael is less well known as to lineage than Babel? Granted, according to Abaye, we understand why, because people came up voluntarily, so they weren't so perfectly segregated. There could be mixing without it being realized, because everybody came up voluntarily. But if they forcibly came up, so then they must have been forcibly kept separated in terms of yichus. So why are you saying that Eretz Yisrael is like a dough compared to the purely, finely sifted flour of Babel? Both should be the same. That's the question on Rava. So my answer is, Nihi, yeah, the Yade, Lahudara, that generation certainly knew. That part of the city, those were the Nesinim, and that part of the city, those were the Shechurei, and that part of the city, those were the Mamzer. But Ludor Achrine lo yode. So once that was a generation later, so it's not so clear who's who. Nebuch. You see, in Russia, there's so many questions as to who is Jewish or not. You know, their grandparents definitely were Jewish, but what about their parents? Was the mother Jewish or not? So that already is a lot less clear. And the further you go away, so in future generations, it wouldn't be clear. That's why, even though whether you hold like Abaye or even like Rava, that this generation knew, but the future generations won't. So this is referencing future generations that Eretz Yisrael will be like a dough mixture compared to the finely sifted flour of Babel. Again, Gemara says, okay, Bishlam Amandi Omar, everything is very good according to Abaye, Domar Alu, who says that they went up voluntarily. Now we understand the pasuk when Ezra, the second parak in Ezra is a very long parak, and it deals with a lot of the names of people that came up. And it says at the very end of that parak, in the last pasuk Ayin, it says, the Ekbit Seim El Hanahar Haba El Ava. So Ezra gathered everybody together at this river, which was known as the Ahava River. And he stayed there for 3 days. And he checked out all the people that were there, implying that he didn't know who was there beforehand. And he saw, when he checked around the nation, he saw the Kohanim there, and he looked for Levim, Ubnei Levi, Lo Matsasi Sham, and he didn't find any Levim over there. So wait a second. If you're telling me they came up voluntarily, so he didn't know who was there. So, very good, according to Abaye. That's why he didn't know that there were no Levim over there. Elamand Yomar Halum, according to the opinion of Robert, it says he brought them all up, so he knew this group is a Kohanim, this group is a Levim. It says, Asar Yosin Olu Mibavel. And according to Robert, it's Halum. He brought them up. So Hamizar Zahiri, how could he not know who was there? So what are you telling me in the Pasuk? Viavina Ba'am of Kohanim. I looked into the nation and the Kohanim, and I didn't find any Bnei Levi over there. Bnei Levi Lomotsasi Misham Sham. So I said, no, Rob is okay. Nihi the Isur Bipsulim. Yes, he knew everybody that was over there from the Psulim. He was very careful to separate out the Psulim, but the Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, then he said, okay, this is the kosher group. And then, now, when he's on this river Ava, he starts going to look to see, new in the kosher group, are there a Kohanim? Oh, there's some Kohanim. Oh, are there Yisrael? Yeah, there's Yisrael. Are there Levim? Woo! There are no Levim over here. So, it's only in the Psulim that he was very redactic on. The Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, he said, okay, that's the kosher group, but he didn't necessarily know whether there were individual Kohanim there, individual Levim there, or Yisraelim over there. He just knew that they were the kosher group. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two is that there were, in fact, Levim that were there that he knew about. The Mefarshim explained that he knew that there were Levim over there, but he didn't know whether there were any kosher to do the Avoda that Levim have to do. Because, and Rashi brings down the famous Medrash that says, when they came up from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, the time of the beginning of Bayis Sheni, so we have the famous capital in Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Zayin, which is Al Naros Babel. And it says, Shamal Em Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, when he brought him into Golus, so he brought them 70 years early into Golus, and he says, Shiru Lanu Mishir Tzion. Ah, I hear the Levim have beautiful musical instruments and beautiful voices and a beautiful choir. No, sing. So that's what Nebuchadnezzar said. So what did the Levim do? Amdu v'katzitzu b'hanos yedeyem b'shineyem. Unbelievable, Mesiras Nefesh. The Levim, rather than go and play the musical instruments for the wicked Nebuchadnezzar, they bit off their thumbs with their teeth. And they told Nebuchadnezzar, Amulo, Eich noshir es shir Hashem. How could we possibly sing shir Hashem al admas necho in this foreign country? Lo noshir, we're not going to sing lo ne'amar. It didn't say we will not sing. It said Eich noshir, we cannot sing. Ein lonu b'mel mishamesh b'nime akinoros. So we don't have the ability to go and play the musical instruments. Our thumbs are missing. So that's the understanding of this famous capital, Baal Naros Babel. Eich no shir shir Hashem. How could we possibly sing the shir Hashem alad v'snechar? It meant that they bit off their own thumbs in order not to have to go and use their holy hands, which were played in the Beis HaMikdash, to go and play a concert for the wicked, evil Nebuchadnezzar. So the second answer is that, in fact, there were Levim there. Ezra knew. Yeah, I brought up Levim. But then he didn't know that they didn't have any Levim there that knew how to go and play. So he only brought up these older Levim with the disability, with the missing thumbs. And there were, in fact, no younger Levim that were able to go and work in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Now the Mishnah is quoted, Kohani Leviv Yisraeli. And it really also includes the Nesinim here as well. So Minolan the Sliku. How do we know that they came up now with Ezra? So the Pasuk tells us. Again, the same parak in Ezra, the pasuk tells us that d'chsev vayeshu hakohanim v'alavim umino om v'hamishorim v'ashorim v'anesinim b'arihem v'chol Yisrael b'arihem. So he brought up all of Kai Yisrael over here at this time. And this is the end of the second parak. I think before I mistakenly said it's the end of the second parak. No, that was parak Ches. So here, it's the end of the second parak. And it tells us that all of these people that are mentioned in this long parak, they came up, and included amongst them were Kohanim, Levim, and Klal Yisrael, and Nesinim as well. So here we know that these four groups came up. Then the Mishnah is quoted and says, how do we know that the Chalole, the Gire, and the Haruri, they came up as well? Chalole Minole, how do we know that they came up? So the Tanya, Rav Yossi Omer, the Brisa teaches us that Rav Yossi said, Gedol Chazaka, look how strong the power of a Chazaka is. As the Pasuk tells us, Shenema, Ubnei HaKohanim, the children of the Kohanim were B'nei Chavaya and B'nei Hakotz and B'nei Barzilai. These were the families of Kohanim. Now, why were they called B'nei Barzilai? Barzilai was not a Kohen. So it says, Asher lokach mibnos Barzilai ha-giladi isha. They took the daughters of Barzilai ha-giladi to be the wives to their sons. Now, Vayikare al-Shemam, and since Barzilai Giladi was very famous as an aide to David, as a strong supporter of David. So the children of these Kohanim eventually became known after their mother's name, the daughters of Barzilai HaGiladi. So they were known as B'nai Barzilai. Now, they wanted to check out, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, did they have their Shtar Yichus with them? Did they have their documents proving their purity of their lineage? So Elabikshu Kisovam Hamisyachsim. So they asked them, Nu, show us your Shtar Yichus. The Kohanim were always very careful to be able to prove their lineage. So they said, show us your Shtar Yichus, Ksav Yichus, Rashi says, and Velo Nimtzo. But they couldn't find it. They had lost it over time. And therefore, they paskin vayegoalu minakuna. They were banished from being Kohanim. They weren't allowed to go and do the work in the Avoda. Now, Vayomer Hatirsha Solahem. So along comes Nehemiah ben Chachilai. Rashi tells us he was known as Hatirsha. So why was he known as Hatirsha? So that's the way he's always referred to. Kari came to Sefer Ezra. I mentioned previously many times, I mentioned it again now, that in Tanakh, the Sefer of Ezra and Nehemiah are considered one book. They're one book of the 24, even though the printers have divided them up into Sefer Ezra and to Sefer Nehemiah. And we refer to them all the time as Sefer Ezra and Sefer Nehemiah, but it's really one Sefer of the 24 Sifrei. Of the Sifrei Tanakh. In any event, it says in this Sefer that Ezra is referred to as Hatir Shasa because Ubigabaris Yerushalmi, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Nimsa, it says over there, Shal Shem Shoya Mashke Lamelech, he was the one who was the wine steward to the king. Hayatzorich Lishtos Kodem, he had to first drink the wine because they were concerned, Shal Yechshudu Shemahitil Sam Hamavis B'mashke. So he was the wine taster for the king, so to make sure that nobody's trying to poison the king. So therefore, anything that was given to the king, he first has to taste it. If there was poison there, he would drop that, and the king would know, hey, that's not a good cup for me to drink. So the problem was that Yayin Nesach was already prohibited. So therefore, He was permitted to have the stam yenim of the Ovdei Kochavim lishtos to drink it, and therefore he was called Hatir Shasa. Hatir Shasa. He was permitted to go and drink. Anyway, that's Nehemiah. So it says Vayomer Hatir Shasa lehem. So Nehemiah told these Kohanim they didn't have their shtai yichus. Asher lo yachlu mikodesh hakodeshim. You're not allowed to go and eat from the korbanos. Ad amud kohen leurim l'tumim, until the urim l'tumim comes and declares that you are a kohen. Like we find many times. One example was when David brought the children of Shaul in front to see whether they were culpable in some way in causing the tzaras to the Givonim, and the Urim V'Tumim grabbed them, so to say. In any event, so the Urim V'Tumim would be able to distinguish which were Yichistik and Kohanim, they could go do the Avodah, and which were not. Now, the only problem over here is, Adabod Kohen Urim V'Tumim, there was no Urim V'Tumim in the Bayis Shady. And Rashi says, this is like a person saying, Ka'odim Shomer L'Chaveiro, Ad Shivo Mashiach. This is the lashon of when Mashiach comes, that's when we'll figure it out. Teiku. When Eliyahu Navi comes, when Mashiach comes, then we'll figure it out. Because Adamot calling Urim V'Tumim, there was no Urim V'Tumim in the Bayis Sheni. So in other words, Nehemiah told them, you're not going to be able to go and do the Avodah as Kohanim. Now, what does it mean over here? Gedolo Chazaka. That's what we're trying to get to. So the word continues and explains that Nehemiah told them further, Yom Alehem, Harei Atem Bechez Kaskem. However, I'm going to leave you in the Chazaka that you're already in. That's what Gedolo Chazaka is. What were you eating in Babel? They were eating the Midrabanan Truma. That's Kochei Gvul. So therefore, you can continue eating that now. We're not going to take that away from you. You can go and eat Truma, not Kochim, but we'll still let you eat Truma. Now, this is the great Chazaka that he says, Gedola Chazaka, that even though they didn't have a Shtai Yichus and couldn't go work in the Beis HaMikdash, they still were allowed to go and eat Truma. Now, Ulaman di Omer, this is a problem because there is an opinion that says if a Kohen eats Truma, that's as good as having a Shtar Yuchsin. Ulaman di Omer, ma'alim Truma l'yuchsin. If somebody is eating Truma, he's accepted that, yeah, this guy is a Kohen that he eats Truma, so then that is his proof that he's also Yichasnik, that he can go and work in the Beis HaMikdash. So how can Nehemiah say, okay, I'll let you guys go and eat Truma? Won't that lead to people saying, well, if they eat Truma, then they can go work in the Beis HaMikdash? According to Man di Omer, it says that that's true. And that's what the Gemara asks. Hanei do'ochu b'truma, if he's letting them eat truma, asu le'skinu, they're going to go bring them up to do the avoda, and they're going to be considered perfectly yichasdika kohanim, and they're going to marry other women, and they're going to have their children be kohanim, when they may be, in fact, they're not kosher or kohanim. So where it says, no. Shiny hosom direya chaskosayu. It was different, because they had a blemish already in the yichas. What was the blemish? So Rashi explains over here, you don't have to be concerned over here because of eating truma that they're going to go be brought up to the status of being yichasnik or kohanim. Why? Because there's a reya, there's a blemish on the yichos. All the other real kohanim are eating kashi hamikdash. And they're not allowed to, so therefore, this is a blemish in the Chazaka, so we don't have to be concerned. Even according to Man the Omen, it normally says, Malam Yitrum Liyosin, we don't have to be concerned about that over here, because Vieshwem Heker Rashi says, Velo Osi Lesukinu, nobody's going to make that mistake. Where it says, so then, okay, we understand what you're saying, but why did you call Rav Yossi? Why did you say, Gedola HaChazaka? Vela, my Gedola HaChazaka? What was so great about the Chazaka? So the Gemara says, here's one teretz. The Meikara, Achol B'Truma D'Rabbanan. Originally, only ate the Truma that was in Babel, which was only Truma in the Rabbanan. Well, itself, Achol B'Truma D'Raisa. And now they're letting them eat Truma in Eretz Yisrael, which is Truma D'Raisa. So therefore, that was the greatness of the Chazaka, that they had a Chazaka to eat Truma D'Rabbanan. So we're now going to allow that to even go, allow them to eat Truma D'Raisa. That's teretz number one. We buy sandwich. Teretz number two, Le'olam, Hashnami B'Rabbanan Achol. No, what are you talking about? They're only allowed to eat the Rabbanim before, and even in Eretz Yisrael, they only eat like Yerakos and Peros, which aren't Adin Daraisa in Eretz Yisrael. It's only mean the Rabbanim. Only the seven species of Eretz Yisrael, the Zayin Minim. So they are V'chuy min Daraisa and Trumas and Maisos. Everything else is not. So Teretz number two is that they only ate Truma Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. But Daraisa lo'ochol. They weren't allowed to eat Truma Daraisa, and therefore there's no concern that people will see them eating Truma Daraisa and the Malim Mitruma Liyosu, because they didn't eat Truma Daraisa. As I said, they're not going to go and make that mistake, because if somebody can't eat Truma Daraisa, you're going to know there's something fishy over here, and they're not going to be mala them to be yuchsin. So they only ate Truma Darabanan, so therefore there is no concern. The Gemara says, if that's true, yachi, so my gedola chazaka, and we go back to Yossi. So why are you saying so great is the chazaka? In what way is it so great? So Gemara says, no, there is something here that's great. The Meikara, Leker, Lemigzar, Mishum Truma Deraisa. Because when they were in Babel, there was no concern. Well, if we let you eat Truma Derabanan, you may come to eat Truma Deraisa. There was no Truma Deraisa in Babel. But now that they're going up to Eretz Yisrael, where there is Truma Derabanan and Truma Deraisa, so the greatness of the Chazak was, Afagav Deigel Lemigzar, you might have thought they should make a Zera, Mishum Truma Deraisa. They can't have Truma Derabanan because it may come to lead to them to have Truma Deraisa. So, Bidurabanan Ochu, Bidurabanan Lo Ochu. Nevertheless, they still were allowed to eat the Truma Midrabanan, even in Eretz Yisrael, and there wasn't a concern. Gdola HaChazaka, there wasn't a concern that that would go and lead to them eating Truma Deraisa, which would then lead to them to being Malin Liyuchsin inappropriately. I Gemara says, wait a second, Vokhsiv, doesn't it seem to negate that by saying that they couldn't eat Truma? Vayomer Hatir Shasu Lehem. Chaim said to them, Asher lo yochlu mikodesh hakadoshim. You're not allowed to go eat kodesh hakadoshim. Implication being, mikodesh hakadoshim hud lo yochal ha komide necha. But that implies that any type of truma they could eat, even truma de araisa. So how can you tell me they only ate truma de rabbanon? According to the second teretz, here it seems to apply that they just couldn't eat kodesh hakadoshim. They couldn't eat kabanos, but they could in fact have even truma de araisa. The Gemara says, no, you misunderstand what it means. Lo yochlu mikodesh hakadoshim. That's two separate things. Number one is kodesh, and number two is kadoshim. So hachi kamar lo mide demikre kodesh, lo mide demikre kadoshim. It's two separate things. What do we mean? Lo mide demikre kodesh. You're not allowed to eat something that's called kodesh. So this is referring to truma, as the pasuk says d'chsev. It tells us v'chol zor lo yochal kodesh. A person who is a non-kohen may not eat kodesh. Now here it's referring to truma because, as Rashi tells us, in the two lines in the bottom, kol oson ha'inyan midabe b'truma. The whole pasuk, a series of psukim, they were talking about truma. V'lo b'kodesh, we're not talking about korbanos. D'chsev, it says ubo hashemesh v'toher. It's talking about somebody who's tameh and nightfall will come. He went to the mikveh during the day. Nightfall will come. Until then, he's a tuyom. Nightfall comes. Harav shemesh. He's now tar for what? He's tar to go eat truma. The acha yochum and akotchim. The next day, if he's b'chusar kippurim, so he brings his korbanos, and then the next day after he brings his korbanos, then he's allowed to eat kotchim. So therefore, the lekel ukmi elu b'truma shemuchusar kippurim mutaba. So those b'chusar kippurim would be allowed to have truma at night, and therefore, when the pasuk says v'chozal lo yochal kodesh, it's referring to truma. This kodesh is referring to truma. So when Nechemiah told him lo yochal mikodesh hakodeshim, he said lo yochal mikodesh, meaning you can't even eat truma, which is truma de'araisa. And when it says the lo mide demikre kodeshim, what did he mean there? The Yomakra, Uvas Kohen Kisiel Ishzar. If a Bas Kohen goes and marries a Yisrael, so he betrumas hakodeshim lo sochel. So she's no longer allowed to go and eat the truma of kodeshim. In other words, that which was waived from kodeshim. So this is referring to women are allowed to go eat. The women Kohanim, married to Kohanim, are allowed to eat the chazay, the shok, shel shlamim. These were the presents, the chazay and the shok, that were given to the Kohanim from the shlamim. So the Kohanim had to eat that and their families. So the ashkon, the ikri kachim, and that's referred to as the kachim. So they had to go and do the truma, as Rashi says, b'mura min hakadoshim. That's the chazay and the shok. So when the pasuk says ubas kohen kisel yizor, he besrumas hakachim lo sochel, she's not allowed to eat that. The omar mar, and we said, what does it mean? Which kachim is not allowed to eat? Bimuram min hakadoshim. That's the chazayin shok of the shlomim. And we turn to daf ayin lo sochel. That she's not allowed to eat. And Rashi points out, v'afilu zera ein la, even if she has no children from that kohen, and then he divorces her or he dies, v'shava beisavia, and she returns to her father's house, so chazeres the truma, she's allowed to go and eat truma again. However, v'eino chazeres chazay v'shok. But once she had been married to a non-kohen, so then she's never allowed to go and return to having this kachim, this chazay and shok, which normally a bas kohen, or the wife of a kohen, is allowed to go and eat. Okay, this is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir. Again, in the hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will listen to all of the Klal Yisrael's Tfilos, all of our learning, all of the chesedim that we're doing, and free the captives. And be'ezras Hashem, bring a Yeshua to all those in need of refuas hanefesh and refuas haguf. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu be merachem al achinu beis Yisrael.